those of you who know me, I don't speak well off the cuff. I don't like to. I feel that you all deserve my very best. But at times, you just step away. What could be planned for this morning is fitting for any Sunday. But what I'd like to do this morning is magnify Christ by reflecting momentarily on death and comforting us with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. And so I'd like to just draw our attention to a few passages. If possible, Bob, could you, do you still have a mic handy? I'm just going to offer us some scripture this morning, and then perhaps we can take some testimonies about uniquely how Jim has ministered to this body, how he has served you, how he has encouraged you in your walk with the Lord. And my mind's drawn, so if you could just have a mic ready, Bob, and I don't know if we can get somebody that maybe make it a little around here a little quicker, if there's somebody who'd be willing to pass that. Daniel or one of the girls here can even do that. Grace, would you be willing to pass? Or somebody just be willing to pass the mic around, that way it's easier on you. And like to reflect upon John 14. And like I said, I'm just a few passages that come to my mind this morning. But John 14, in the midst of Christ just reminding his disciples that he will be leaving earth soon, they're bewildered, they're discouraged, they're weary, and he tells them, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And why can our hearts not be troubled at the prospects of the death of a loved one? And in this context, our Lord himself says, "Believe in God. Believe also in me." He's liking his connection. He's making a connection between him, he and the Father. It says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." The Holy Scriptures teach us that at the moment of conversion, the Spirit of God comes and takes up residence in our life. In salvation, we are made immediately right with God. Our sins are taken away. We've been made right with God by grace through faith. And the down payment of our eternal salvation is given to us in the Holy Spirit. He is the earnest of our salvation. And it is that hope in Christ Jesus that gives us hope in the face of death, our own death, and the death of our loved ones. And it's because of Christ. He is our hope. He is our rock. He helps us in our sorrows, even with words that cannot be uttered, that we have nothing left to pray. We don't even know what to ask for, but the Spirit of God intercedes for us. He comforts us. And we know the Scriptures tell us that to be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord, and it provides for us eternal joy, even in the face of death. My mind is also drawn to 1 Corinthians 15 that speaks about about our body. I had read 2 Corinthians. I'll just go there. 2 Corinthians 4. I read this with Jim on Thursday. And 2 Corinthians 4 says this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." This is verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay," referring to our bodies, "to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Verse 16 says, or I'll just keep reading. Verse 9 again, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that, or for this purpose, the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believed, and so we also spoke, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul writes, sorrowful, but always rejoicing. And I know Jim's struggles. Yet I know that his confidence in Christ gave him great hope, gives us great hope today. So I would like to give opportunity maybe to some of you who would like to give testimony of how that God has ministered to you through Jim. And I know it's a lot all at once, but perhaps there's something you can share, a verse, a memory. Perhaps it's humorous, perhaps it's serious. But share in a way that God has ministered to you, magnified Christ in you through the ministry of Jim Fowler. Back here, Virginia Wood.
My husband, Woody, and I have been in this church for a very, very long time, and we both remember the very first day that the Fowlers came into the church, and their kids, David and Karen, were middle-aged teenagers, and it just, as it came to pass, one of our sons dated Karen for quite a long time, and that went by the wayside. But anyway, during this time, we became closer to the Fowlers, and as far as we've been very heavily burdened for Diane, especially these past few days, and I've been communicating. Oh, Woody would talk to her on his phone sometimes, and I've been communicating with her through private message. And she had told me how that Jim woke up the one night. I don't know if it was the first night or second night he was at home, but he sang hymns for half an hour, and that he would quote scripture. And she said that it seemed as, I mean, she really thought then that he was talking to Jesus. Although he was asleep, he was talking to Jesus. And that is such a testimony of his life and his faith. And nobody could. Jim would always be willing to fill the pulpit whenever it was needed. On spur of the moment, he was ready. He was so knowledgeable biblically and historically. He could tell stories about hymns, writers, and so on and so forth, just as though, I mean, things that happened a couple hundred years ago, and he could tell a story like no one else could. It was just like he lived through it himself, and it was always a pleasure to hear him speak. And we just know that his life touched so many people, and those of you who really didn't know him that well, we understand that, but those of us who did know him for a long time just have this special place of memories in our hearts for Jim and Diane. And having been through some things, I know that Diane has to be and has been totally overwhelmed right now. And she has so much to do and so much to take care of, and it's been hard. And you can also, like we've said before, pray that the children get to come. It's heartbreaking to us that Jim had to leave us before Karen could come and see him. But that's just the way it happened. And anyway, I know that Diane needs a lot of support right now, and we are thankful for the memory of Jim being here in the church and his music and so on and so forth.
Amen. Someone else. Rich. Well, if you could just for those who are online. Just for those who are online, if necessary, for their sake.
The thing I remember about Jim, he was always faithful. He was always faithful to his Lord. And no matter what kind of circumstance came up, somebody had some situation, he always had scripture applicable to that point of view. And I appreciate his faithfulness and the fact that you always knew here was a strong believer. He was true to God's word, and he knew God's word.
Amen. Amen. Someone else. I know it's a lot to think about all of a moment, but Michelle?
I didn't know them that long, but they were always so kind to my family and always told us they were thankful for us. And Jim would always make me laugh. He would say some funny things, and he was always good about asking me about homeschooling, because homeschooling can be difficult sometimes, but Jim was always, when I would go over there for doing piano lessons, and he'd always ask me how it was going and ask me about each kid and how each kid was doing, and he always encouraged me to not give up and to not lose faith and to keep doing what I was doing. And he teased me about starting a school. He used to tease me about being the next principal of Bible Baptist school. And so I just appreciate his humor, and I appreciated him always being so kind and encouraging to me as a young parent.
Thank you. Someone else? I remember when we first came here, we really, and I'm sure you're familiar with the show, but American Ninja Warrior. And we moved out to the place by the Hesterbergs, and we got hardly any TV reception at all, but we really liked that show. And so every Tuesday night we'd go over there and they'd pop popcorn and we'd just sit and watch American Ninja Warrior with them. And I know that he and Caleb had an affinity for rocks. And so those are good memories. Good memories. It was always an encourager. And confident in the Lord, and yeah, he knew the scriptures. And you know, even on Thursday, just I know that he was troubled by the fact that not being able to preach or to teach again. The stroke had affected his voice where he could barely whisper. And just the lack of movement, he could move arms kind of up and down, but no grasping really. And but he was hurt by the lack of ability now to be able to move forward. Yet, as we talked, he was confident in God's grace, confident in God's sovereign providence in his circumstances. And that's an encouragement. There's going to be a time where I won't be able to teach anymore. There you feel like your gifting's no longer, or you can't use it for whatever reason. And being able to resign that to God and to his good pleasure and your life as well. And Jim did that. Took the MS in stride and trusted God with it. Bob, if possible, perhaps you have something. I'm just thinking, here in a few moments, if we could close, and what I would like to do, if possible, I know that Jim likes 689, How Firm a Foundation. If we could if we could play that, and just kind of sing that together as a dismissal. But if there's somebody else that would like to share a testimony of God's grace through Jim.
31 years ago, Jim and Diane came to Rantoul to oversee the operations of the former Servicemen's Center, which at the time was designed to minister to young airmen who were passing through Chanute on their way to their permanent stations, or even to those who were permanently assigned at Chanute. He did that faithfully. One of the first memories I have is, I don't remember if it was the second or third Sunday that they were here, but they invited me and several other people over. They were so hospitable. They loved having people over. I get up to the door, first time. I ring the doorbell. Diane comes to the door and says, "Oh, by the way, could you run and get a gallon of ice cream for me at IGA?" I hadn't even gotten in the door yet. And she said, "Well, can you do this?" And I said, "Well, of course." So I went and got the gallon of ice cream. And from that moment on, I was, as they say, grafted in as family. Jim and Diane have been spiritual parents to me for 31 years. So much good counsel that I got from Jim. I've known so many wonderful, wonderful Christian people, but I think he may be the godliest man I've ever known. And it hurts right now, because in the absence of my own father, I had Jim and I had my Uncle Denzel, who's here with us today. And that's quite a 1-2 punch to have when you need some male authority figures in your life. I grew closer to the family, even today. I'm accepted as kind of the oldest child. They had two children, Karen and David, and I was adopted in as the big brother. Karen, a few days ago, sent me a message saying that, of course, she was coming. She said, "I hear that you're going to rescue me from the city of Chicago." And she said, "It's so wonderful for you to look out for your little sis like that." In every measure of the word, Karen and David are my brother and sister, and the Fowlers are spiritual parents to me. They've enriched my life, and they've enriched the lives of all of you here if you've been here longer than 10 minutes. Jim had the hope of heaven. He faithfully taught the word of God, not only in his first church in Urbana in the early 70s, but then when he went to Nipigon, Ontario for 18 years as a pastor before coming back to Rantoul. It didn't take long for him to start teaching Sunday school here and to fill in, to preach, and do whatever was needed. We will miss Jim, but we have the legacy of his faithfulness in Christ and to Christ. And that is something for all of us to strive for.
Amen. If we just want to share one more verse, Bob, if you'd like to come forward and just close with a song here. My mind's drawn to Psalm 92, 12 through 15. It says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They're planted in the house of the Lord, and they flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." And I know that Jim bore fruit clear into his old age. He was continually ministering to me and encouragement to me. And so I'm thankful for God in Christ Jesus that he brought him here and that he's been able to serve this local body and serve me. And so may Christ be magnified in him both in life and in death. So Bob, when you get a moment, you can just come and I believe it's hymn 689, I believe. So if you'd like to take your hymnal and turn with us to page, to hymn number 689.
And even the fact that we're opening our hymnals would please Jim. And so, as we close the service, it sounds intimidating to say, let's sing all six stanzas. But in the context of this morning, let's sing all six of them, knowing that this was the foundation that Jim stood on and that we all stand on, those of us who know Christ as Savior. How firm a foundation.
Jesus hath leaned for repose. I
I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, nor never forsake. Jim did not forsake Christ. In this moment, he is in his presence, waiting for us. This has been a beautiful time of remembrance, a beautiful service. So glad all of you were here this morning. Thank you to those of you who have joined us through social media. I'll simply say, God bless you. Thank you.